Radio. Good morning, everyone. Happy day after Thanksgiving. Maybe you're listening to us as you're heading to the outlets. Maybe you're sleeping in, or like some people, you have to work. It doesn't matter. We're just happy that you are here. Good morning again. I am Danielle M. Morsino, and I am here with my lovely, amazing author co-host, author of The Realm, the Dark Metaphysical Series, D.R. Rice. And we are here today to discuss chapter five, actually. And this is all about pre-launch. So it's kind of the time when you have your book in hand, but nothing else is going on. This is where all the work begins. This is all your ARCs, your advanced reader copies. Those are going out. You're starting to get a little bit of buzz, and you're kind of now waiting. But like I said, it's really when the work begins. So, DR, what was your pre-launch like?
I mean, I didn't have one. I mean, this is so bad because I go into it. You know, last week we were talking about the expectations, right? With we had our book in hand and we were so excited, but then we weren't excited because you have all the chaos that starts next. And this was that chaos. I assumed there was going to be a plan where, okay, you handed me my book. It's in hand. I am good to go. And then you were going to hand me like a piece of paper or tell me or do something to give me some idea of what I was supposed to do next. I had nothing. It was, here's your book. Good job. You know, this is great. High five. When's your next one come? Like, when are you going to turn in your next one? Your book will be out in about a month. And I'm like, okay. And they were like, so good luck. And I'm like, wait, whoa. Like, where are you going? What am I supposed to do with this? And they're like, oh, you market it. I'm like, oh, I market it. And they're like, yeah, cool.
Okay, is that normal, though?
How do I do that?
Is that a normal, from when you've spoken now to other authors, and now you are almost 10 books out. Yeah. This is the first time. Did you find out if that was normal at the time? Did you think that was normal? And now looking back and after speaking to other authors, was that a normal response?
I think it was a little bit of both looking back now. And when I say looking back, it's only been 2 years, 2.5 years since then. But it was – so I went in, obviously, with the expectation that they were going to give me a game plan. We were going to go and they were going to tell me, okay, on this day or on this week, you know, give me some ideas of what the hell I was supposed to do. Like, how do you market a book? And so that was my expectation. They kind of just assumed I would know what to do, and which was mind-boggling to me. But they went and, you know, okay, here's your book, all of this. Good luck. You know, market it to your fans. And I'm like, but I don't have fans. Like, this is my first book. I don't have fans. So, and then a couple, you know, as the years go by and you know, I met you, who just was like, what are you doing marketing-wise with this? You know, you need to step this up. And you have been the person that has actually helped me figure out how to market these things. But from other authors, it was some of them got a little bit of something where they would get their ARC set up, which is the, like Danny said, it's the advanced reader copy. Most of the time it's online. People can subscribe through Booksprout and Book Funnel and all of those, and you can choose your own ARCs and read them. Some people had that. Some people even had like marketing material. So they had their one sheets and they had videos that they could post and all of that, but it was like starting out as a self-published author. And so I didn't have anything. Now, I know you have, you know, you've been published twice. So you had your first edition and then your second. So what was your first time? When you first, you know, published Birth of the Fae, what did they give you?
My first edition, I had gone out and got a publicist because I had done the research and I knew I couldn't do this alone. So I went and got a publicist. Once again, big mistake on some levels. I had researched three publicity firms and settled on one of them, which I will not name at this point. The mistake I made, and this is for anybody who's going to go to a publicity firm, you need to find out what other authors are there if they are like you. I found out that's not a good thing and later found out that there's such a thing in the industry called harpooning, where if there is another author like you that feels threatened and they are bigger, they will actually pull that person aside and go, hey, look, okay, so this book you got, I write a fake book. So this not needs to not go well. And that's what happened to me. I spent this money, and about 30 days before I was due to come out, they set up my Goodreads profile. So for anybody who doesn't know Goodreads, that's kind of like the place you have to be as an author. It's where all your reviews go. It's linked to Amazon, whole thing. And right. They set up like a small synopsis of your book, which is basically supposed to be the back of the blurb that's on the back of the book. I was sitting with my friend and we were getting things together and he went, you need to go look at Goodreads. And I was like, nope, they're handling it. And he's like, no, you need to go now. And my whole climactic ending of my book was on there. Like the big finish, the big payoff.
And, no.
And I panicked and freaked out. And I called the publicity firm because I was not, this is another thing, don't give the keys to your kingdom away to anybody. I was not the person who set it up. They did. So I called them. I freaked out. And I'm like, what is going on? And they were like, oh, my God, in 25 years, this has never happened. Oh, my God. They were patting. They were like, these were the cards. Basically, what had happened is if you go on a talk show, nobody reads your book. That's first. Like anybody who's like looking, the host is like, oh, my God, I read it. I loved it. BS. They don't. They get cards. That was what was there. And the last chapters were, or the last like cliff notes was what they put up. And it had been up for about 2.5 weeks at this point. So they were so apologetic. We don't know how this happened and all that. Well, it turned out Charlene Harris once again, stuff that will not be named, was one of the authors that they had at one point. She had gotten wind of my book and that I had Faye and had read a copy and was just like, yeah, no, this can't happen. It was too, she
which
felt
is insane.
Similar to something.
Because yours isn't even very similar to hers.
Not at all, but whatever it was, did not like it. And so a friend of mine who was in the industry did some digging and found out that the book was harpooned. So they wound up sending the ARCs to romance readers. So my first review was horrible, horrible. And that was the first review that popped up. And when I went to them and said, you sent it all to romance people, oh, did we? Oh, my God. It was, like, really weird stuff that was happening. I wound up getting my money back.
Good, okay.
We parted ways. We agreed this was not working. They came back and said, look, we'll give you our top-tier publicists. And I'm like, well, why didn't I get your top? Like, it was just weird stuff. Like, I didn't know you had tiers of publicists. So everything went wrong that could have. And that's when I had found out about this harpooning. I did not find it out at the time. I found out, like, almost a year later, but like I said, in the time, they kind of admitted it didn't go well. They blamed it on COVID because I did launch the first book during COVID. So a lot of things, like I said, went wrong. I did not go with a publicist after that, but I learned a lot.
Oh, I don't mind.
You know, they had given me a calendar, and we had started, the book came out June 29th. They had started publicity work in February, and even then they said, this is still late, like we should have started earlier. So when we moved, you know, when I moved to the publishing firm where we were both at, I found it very weird that we got nothing. Like what I was told when I got there, and I don't know if you were told the same thing when you started, they don't do any marketing till the third book.
Yeah,
I remember sitting back going, what do you mean? And that to me was, I was, like, blown away. And, like, again, their whole thing, I think, I don't know if they told you the same thing, but it was like, you don't have enough fans or readers until the third book. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. And they were like, by then you can, like, people will binge it and all this other stuff. So I did all the marketing by, like, doing the virtual book tours on Instagram and stuff. And so all my pre-launches, I couldn't figure out how to do because I'd never experienced that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, so the publisher that we were with, I was there, you know, at the beginning when they, I think I was one of the first authors they had signed. I don't remember which one, but we went through and they said the same thing, you know, that was their thing. You don't do anything until the third book. Well,
yeah.
It's devastating when you have this book come out and the only people that are seeing it are the, you know, your friends, your family, close people. And so I just kept writing because in my head,
mm-hmm.
they had said, you know, third book. So I have
yeah.
so many so fast. Nobody, if I can give anybody any advice, it's going to be write the book you want to read and do not publish 10 books in 2 years. Don't do it.
Agreed.
It's not worth it. It's so
agreed,
stressful.
100%.
But I thought, you know, if I kept writing, I would get to that third book and then there would be this, you know, giant explosion of readers. Right. It was going to be just nothing.
Yep.
It was going to be nothing but the people everywhere. And then my third and fourth book came out on the exact same day. And there was nothing. Oh, yeah. My third and fourth came out
the same exact day?
The same day. So it was funny because it wasn't supposed to, and nobody knew that it was out, except for my mother-in-law had called me, and she was like, I'm so excited about, you know, reading Thane's story. And I'm like, how are you reading Thane's story? It doesn't come out for 2 months. And she's like, no, I just got the alert that you've released it. And so I called my publisher, and I was like, you know, this book is out. Like, what do we do? What's going on? All this. And they're like, I don't know how it got released today. They literally just updated it because, you know, you go through and to put it on Amazon, there's all these different steps. And I think they went through CoreSource to put it onto everything. And somehow somebody messed up. And so it was released. So there was no buildup between my third and my fourth one. And then I did my fifth one. And I had told them, you know, what is our plan? What is our plan? This is the fifth one. There's got to be something. These floodgates are going to open. I'm going to have all of these readers. It's going to be spectacular. It's going to be like, bam, C.R. Rice. And
there I am. Cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm right there. That's me. But then we went through, and there was none of that. They had said, you know, now you start pushing. Now you start sharing. You got to make these. You got to go onto social media. I mean, you know, when we met, I do not do well on social media. I can't figure out how to do it half the time. I'm not great at it. I call you all the time, like, what do I do for hashtags? And I'm not that person. So I was panicking because, you know, you had promised me this magnificent thing, and it wasn't happening. There was nothing. There was no marketing. There was no advertising. So I started running my own ads. And I think my first one was on Facebook. I did a Facebook ad.
Yes.
And my ratings went from being, you know, 5,000 to being 300. And I was like, okay, all right, Chelsea knows what she's doing. But then I got in trouble because they were like, you shouldn't be running ads. And I'm like, okay, but what are you doing?
I
had to, I had to take it onto myself. And then it was very stressful. Now, then at that point, because they had grown, they had started sending me this ARC link. And I was like, what is this? And the person that they have helping you told me that it was an ARC link. And I'm like, what the heck is an ARC? And they're like, it's the advanced reader copy. Cool. What do I do with this? Then they told me to start a newsletter and send it out. And I was like, I don't know how to do a newsletter. I don't have anything to share. What am I supposed to do? Do I just, like, buy a bunch of emails online and send this ARC link? What am I supposed to do with it? And then luckily, you know, I don't know, a year and a half in, Danny comes swooping into the rescue and explains what the hell you do with an ARC. But that was devastating to me. I don't know about you. I assumed there was going to be some type of guidance. Here's what you do A to B, you know? Like when we do our events, we're like 6 months out, 3 months out, 2 months, a month, 2 weeks, there was going to be something. And there's never been that.
No, it was, I have to say everything, even from the first time I published to now, it has been baptism by fire. And after speaking to authors who are with a more established house or somebody who's been with one of the big three, they've always gotten some kind of, hey, this is what you need to do. You know, there's been a marketing plan. You know, pre-launch is 90 days is what I was told. They were like minimum 90 days. Before 90 days, it's handled totally in-house. Like they don't even know what's going on as the author. They're just, it's handled. And then at 90 days, the author is really involved. With us, it was not like that. Like I said, for my first publisher was not, they did nothing. It was, you know, the second one is pretty much the same. It was nothing. I thought it was very odd with the whole, you don't do anything till you're three books, because the same thing. Mine were my first book was re-released, and then the second book was released, I think, 2 months after the first one, so I had no time. And then the third one was released, I think, 3 months after that. So it was done in such quick succession, I couldn't catch my breath because I'm just getting the tour set up for the second book, and then the third book is on its way, because you don't just jump into a virtual tour. You have to set that up months in advance. I don't have the copies, so there was nothing for me to do. They didn't give me I didn't have my pre-order links or my ARCs until the book came out. They didn't even send me that, because at that point they weren't setting it up. So I didn't have anything. And there were problems with my book. For some reason, I had X's in Thine Eyes of Mercy, which they were like, oh, you didn't review it properly. No, there was a problem with the typeset and the font. So randomly, if you have the first edition of Thine Eyes of Mercy, you have little X's somewhere in your book. I don't know
and
why.
And hang on to that.
Hang on, because that could be worth money someday. There's just X's. There were double quotes in the first fly page in the illustration of Loth. There's double quotes. Don't know why. Once again, it was a typeset issue. And for those of you who don't know, we have to QC our own books. When we were with this former publisher, we had to do the QC as the author. Well, one, I'm dyslexic as hell, so I don't see a lot of these mistakes. We would get it in a PDF, and we would have to scroll through every page. That's great, but with these X's, they didn't show up until printing. So I didn't see any of them. There was a lot of issues with the pre-launch. I couldn't get the virtual tours going. So it was very odd. And then the person who was working marketing at the time basically just didn't care. So I was like, oh, did you do this? Hey, did you do? And he was like, yeah, 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 sure, yeah, sure. And then
you're
like,
next. You're definitely next.
I'm like, you said you made an announcement. Well, all you did was take, you reposted something that one of my readers did. I had a reader who would do these like phenomenal, she would basically make an announcement when the next book was coming out. She'd do these great reels. He would just repost that and be like, there's your announcement. And I'm like, no. She read the book and gave a review. That's not an announcement. Like, let's be clear on this. There were no press releases. I would do my own press releases. But if the publisher wasn't listening, or if somebody, you know, responded to it, it didn't matter, you know. It's, what are you going to do? They did not have one sheets until I started doing the one sheets. The person who was supposed to be doing them didn't do them. Like, they were horrible. You saw them. And I was like, that can't begin. Because I had paid for my own through Bakker for the first edition. So there was a lot of, with the pre-launch, it just wasn't organized at the time. And we tried to fix that. But I would say for anybody out there, go and research through Google, even if you are with a publisher. What are the steps to a pre-launch? What should I have in my author toolbox? And make sure you have all those things. Don't rely on the publisher. If the publisher isn't doing it, go to Bakker, B-O-W-K-E-R. Look at what you should have, and if you've got to pay for it, or go through Canva, make your own. Make sure you have all that. Do not rely solely on your publisher. Yes, we all think they should be doing this. That's all fine, well, and good. Don't. And if you're, especially if you're with a publisher who's not been around, who's been around for less than 4 years, think they know it all.
I think an easier way to do it is to luck out and find a DME. Because now you always yell at me. And you come to me and you're like, Chelsea, where is this? And I'm like, what is that? And you're like, okay, sit down. We need to get this together. And then the next thing is like, okay, Chelsea, like, where is this? And I'm like, I don't know. And we sit down and we do it. So I think if you can luck out and find yourself a Danny who has had to, you know, did the opposite of what I did, who went out and tried to figure out the million other things that you were supposed to do versus me, who basically kept their head down and thought, you know, if I do my three books, somehow these floodgates are going to magically open and all the fans come in. And so I just kept writing. You luck out a bit.
And
it
that's
works.
Lovely. Yes. The thing is I've made enough mistakes and you run out of money is that you're like, okay, now I know everything that I'm supposed to do. Oh crap. I'm on book 7, 8. And I'm like, the money's gone. And then you've put that by then you figured it out and you're like, well, just wait till I get to book 9. And this whole thing is figured out. And then you're like, so I need a loan now because I've made every mistake. Yeah. And one day I will write a book called, you know, I've made all the mistakes so you don't have to. And that's what I'm going to call it. And, you know, just pulling back the curtain, which is why we're doing this podcast, is just for that reason. So, like I said, I've made all the mistakes so you don't have to. The stigma around self-publishing is getting better. So don't feel like you can't self-publish. You can. And you can make money on Amazon and KDP, and you can get into Barnes & Noble. Are you physically going to get in here? Let's be really honest with this. Most likely
okay,
not.
But so
you're not
going to walk in. No, you can't walk in and get your book on there. No matter what anybody says, they are not getting their book in there unless you're from one of the big five. You can maybe find a local bookstore and get into, but all of those indie authors you see, their books are on consignment.
Yeah,
and I think that's what, because we got angry when we had, there was an author at our publisher and she made it look, because of social media, she made it look like she went in there before her book came out, took an advanced copy, brought it in there, and everybody lost their minds. They were so excited. And we were trying to figure out how that could possibly happen when we had been to 10 other stores and were told, no, we can't because of whatever reason, or they'll take it on consignment. And so a lot of social media is just appearance, guys. Anybody can take your book.
Is.
You can drop it in Barnes & Noble, do a quick little video like, oh, my gosh, my book is in here. This is amazing. And then walk the hell out because they will throw your book away. So
I don't be misled. I did it with my first edition. I did do it. I put it on the shelf, and I was like, look. And then I went back 2 days later, and it was at the front desk. And somebody was like, I don't know where this book came from. I'm like, oh, that's my book. And they were like, it must have been a return. The guy wound up at the front desk asking me to sign it. He took it for free and read it. It was super nice. I've gotten into Barnes & Noble recently. I was there in June because the manager read my book. And we struck a deal. And it was, he ordered 3 copies. I did a signing there. And everything that I sold, I got with a split with them. It was really nice. But it would happen that the manager read my book, and it was a nice exchange, whatever. I haven't been back. Did I sell a bunch of books? I sold like 25 books. It was a good, cool experience. Yay us, whatever. But this idea that you're just going to walk in with your one sheet and be like, yay, it's a little bit of a fairy tale. It's not quite going to go that way. The only other option
unless you go to the local places.
You go to the local.
You can go to those local ones. Yep.
Yeah. Don't forget about the mom and pops. Being in Barnes and Noble is not everything. You can't forget about the local bookstores who are dying for it. But you got to go in with the right attitude and not like, you want my book because I am an author. You kind of have to like, hey, I want to support the local, offer them something. There's other ways to go about it. The other thing you can do is you can print through Barnes and Nobles, which does up the chance that you might get into a smaller local Barnes & Noble. That there are ways, but don't forget about your mom and pop bookshops that are struggling because of Amazon. So, don't forget
and
about them.
The local ones, we have one. It's called the Gilded Page. I recently found it. It's in Tarpon Springs, and they have an entire local author section, and that's what the mom and pops are doing, that the bigger ones aren't the, Barnes & Noble, you go in and it says it's local authors. It's not. It's the next biggest author or, a very popular author because they know how to do the TikTok things. But you go into these local ones and they just have entire sections and they have like meet and greets. They set those up so that you can go in and it drums them business up. You get to know your local readers. They get excited about you. You get excited about them. And you are building an even better support system because Barnes & Noble is not going to care. If you go and you say, I've done signings at Barnes & Noble several times and they don't care. And depending on which one you go to, there's no support whatsoever. They don't let you do anything. They hide you instead of, you know, I've been at the ones where you're at the front of the store and everybody knows you're there. They have signage. And then I've been at the ones that they're stashing you in
the back.
And
you're like,
you know,
little secret.
Exactly. And when you're walking through, they're like, Hey, don't disturb the customers. And I'm like, I'm not disturbing customers. We're trying to, you know, get people back to explain what's going on because we posted about it. Then people come and show up for a signing and they can't find you. So they assume that you're not even there. So try the mom and pop places. Not only are they cooler looking inside because they all have their own personality, they are going to support you. You are going to support them. And being an author is all about building a good support system. And I don't think that gets talked about enough. I mean, we definitely cover it, but being an author, you cannot succeed if you do not have a good support system. You can't.
No, that's a good, and you have to build it with other authors. Like I said, there's a certain competitiveness, and we've talked about this before, and sometimes it's built by the publishers themselves within their author community. We have to branch out, and that means also supporting up-and-coming authors or people who just want to be an author and want to write and maybe just don't know how to do it or they're not sure they can do it. Mm-hmm. That's also why we're doing the podcast and pulling that curtain back and saying, look, these are the things you have to look out for. And it's not to say being an author is so scary and, oh, my God, it's full of this. We're also telling you some of the negative stuff because there's also this toxic positivity of being an author is so great because of social media. They make it look like they're making all this money. It's so easy to get in Barnes & Noble and this and that. It's BS. Because we thought the same thing watching some of these other authors, and we were like, how did they do that? What's wrong with us? And then we talked to people that helped them, and they were like, okay, they took those pictures, and all they did was go outside, change their dress, go back into that Barnes & Noble, and those same five books were there. That's not a different day. They made it look like they sold out, and they ordered five more books. This is what they did. And we're like, oh, crap, we've been sitting here thinking the wrong thing.
Yes.
So we're just letting
you know.
That's what
social media is. A lot of it is. Yeah, a lot of it is just deception. And it makes you feel terrible,
really,
so don't feel terrible, guys. You don't have to spend a lot of money to get your book out there. We have, you know, as this podcast goes on, we will explain some of the things that we have done that are not expensive to get your book out there. We will share some of the stuff that we've been doing, like the pop-up bookshop and how we take indie authors and self-published authors. And we travel with GalaxyCon and bring all of these books to an entirely different audience you wouldn't traditionally get to, especially sitting at home or any of these marketing things. And if you are in Columbus, Ohio, next week, funny enough, we are going to be at GalaxyCon Columbus from December 1st through the 3rd, so you'll have to stop by. We can share more secrets. You can check out some of the amazing authors we work with and, of course, check out our stuff because we're authors. We gotta advertise our stuff, too. But it's an incredible journey to take. You have to be resilient, and it's miserable half the time. I don't know if I'm supposed to add that part on, but I feel like it's lying if I don't share. It is, there are times that are so miserable. I'm like, why did I do this? This is, all of your expectations get blown out of the water because if you go in expecting something, it's probably going to be let down. But there is a great community. That's what we're here for. We're going to share all of the things that we have messed up on and how we fixed it. So thank you guys for joining us this week. We hope you enjoyed our stories, maybe learned something from our mistakes and our chaos, had a laugh or two at our expense, but it's okay. We were laughing too. And we hope that if you are in Columbus, you stop by GalaxyCon Columbus and visit us. Otherwise, we will make sure you're here next week, same place, same time.
We'll be talking about reviews. Talk about a horrible experience and a good experience.
Yes.
It's a little rough.
Oh, reviews.
But we'll be back next week, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. We'll see you next week.